You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, we are told to be imitators of God, followers of God, as dear children. So today, I want to talk about one aspect of following God that we need to be doing. We need to be imitating Him in. And that scripture is Ephesians 5:1. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "Be imitators of God. Copy Him and follow His example. As well-beloved children, imitate their fathers." And so, you know, you have, if you're a parent, you've seen your children copy things that you do or say. I remember Dale and Cheryl are out of town. His daughter is graduating this afternoon from high school, and so they're out of town. But he told me this a few months ago. I can't remember the exact occasion, what was going on, but I think maybe they'd been up here at practice or something. And he said Chris had done a solo or something on the drums, and Big Dale was asking little Dale, he said, "Don't you want to play the drums like Chris?" And he said, "Dale, stop for a minute." Little Dale stopped for a minute, and he said, "No, Daddy, I want to play the drums like you." Isn't that sweet? And I can remember when, before Michael... Michael, you know, was in drugs and drank some before he was born again, and after he got right with God and we went to church, he gave his all to God when he got saved, and we got in church immediately, and we went to all the services that they had, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They had prayer on Tuesday nights. We had a group of friends that we had all, that we hooked up with when we got to that church. And we did things together. We had Bible studies together. We had prayer meetings together. We would stay up to 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And poor little Chris, he'd have to get up and go to school the next morning. But it had a great influence in our lives. And when Chris was, I don't know, he was maybe 2. He was about 15, 16 months old when Michael got born again, when he gave his life to the Lord. And we were getting ready to go to a Bible study or to church. And Michael had already locked the door. And he said, "Oh, man, I forgot my Bible." And unlocked the door to go back in. And I just thought right then, with Chris is at that age, you know, they're so impressionable when they're really little. I mean, they're impressionable any age. Even as teenagers, they're impressionable. But he could have said, "Oh, I forgot my, you know, clip," or, you know, "I can't remember all the drug terms because that wasn't my thing." But anyway, yes, amen. But, you know, he could have said something to do with drugs, or "I forgot, you know, something to do with alcohol." He could have been copying Michael by saying what he was doing right then. And what was Michael doing right then? He was serving God. So that's what Chris was copying. And so we need to copy our Father. And so this is the example. This is what I'm going to talk about confession today. And I know that we talk about that a lot, but the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is what I preached on the last time I preached, and the benefits of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and confession are two of my favorite things to preach on or to teach on. And the ladies that come to monthly meetings know that I teach on confession a lot. So anyway, in Genesis, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to use this as an example. But in Genesis, God said when he created the earth, when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then it goes on and says, "It was good." And then it said, "Let there be." God said, and God said, and God said. And he created everything that we have. He created the heavens and the sky. He created set the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky. He said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and then let the earth bring forth animals." But my emphasis is God said. Okay, so turn over with me to Psalms 23. Give you a place to turn to. So God created the earth by speaking to the earth and telling it to bring forth. And so in Psalms 33, in verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He laid up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." We know that what he spoke into existence is still here. It stood fast. The sun still isn't shining in the sky. The moon is still coming, doing its rotation and coming up and reflecting the sun for us at night. The stars are still shining in the sky. The mountains, he set boundaries for the waters of the seas, not to cross those boundaries anymore, not to flood the earth anymore. He spoke to the animals to bring forth, to multiply and reproduce. He told man to replenish the earth. And so he spoke things into existence. And so we, as imitators of him, we're not going to speak things into existence like he did, but there is an importance to what we say, and we need to be saying what God says. Amen? Okay, let's turn over to Mark 11:22-23. Mark 11:22, the last part of that verse says, "Have faith in God." And if you read other translations, some say, "Have the faith of God." So what kind of faith did God have? He believed that when he spoke, things were going to happen. And so we need to have that same kind of faith. We need to watch what we say the word of God, and believe that when we say it, it's going to happen. And so if you look at the next verse, 23, it says, For verily I say unto you," and Jesus is talking here. So he says, let's read it all together. "Have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall say to this mountain, believe that you..." Let me go over here and read it so I don't misquote it. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And so we need to be saying the word and believing what we're saying. And Jesus, to put that principle to work, Jesus in the very next verse says, "Therefore I say." So he applied what he just told the disciples to do. He applied it and showed them and used it in his own speech. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." So when we say the word, and we need to saturate ourselves in the word of God. And as we say the word, it's going to get us more and more. In Psalms 119, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so as we put the word in, as we're saying the word, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when we say the word, we're hearing ourselves say it. We need to be listening to teaching. We need to be listening and just saturating ourselves in the word of God. And we need to be saying it. We need to say it every day. And, I taught on this not too long ago, and I gave out little cards, business cards with scriptures on them at one of our ladies' monthly meetings. And later, one of our ladies just said that, she loves the word, she reads, she prays, but it was hard for her to say it out loud. And that after we did the cards, that she started saying it more. And so, just because we've been pastoring here for as long as we have, 26, 7 years, whatever it is. What is it? It's 80, 27, that's right. Okay. As long as we've been serving God, there are times that I slip on watching what I'm saying. Okay, I know I'm not the only one guilty of that, right? Okay, but we do. There's so many things, so many words that we're hearing in the world, so many things that are against the will of God, so much death, so much misery, so much turmoil, so much fear that's in the world today. Words, you turn on the television, you listen to the news, it's fear, fear, fear. And it's And, you know, you hear about people being killed. You hear about the swine flu. You hear about different things when you're listening to the news. And then you know, if you're not careful, you'll be saying the same thing. And so that's why we need, you know, you might need to turn your television off. If you want to watch, I watch the weather and I try to turn it off. Even the commercials. If you watch a program on TV, the commercials. Oh, well, if you have these symptoms, this is the medicine you need. You know, you hear that all the time. Oh, it's the flu season. Oh, it's, you know, your achy joints, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we hear all the time. You know, obviously, the economy, you know, you hear about that. Oh, this business is going under. They're laying off this many people. How are we going to make it? How, you know, you just, if that's what the world is saying, is how are we going to make it? So we need to be saying what God says, that He supplies our every need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that He is the peace giver. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If we seek Him first, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And in context, He's talking about our food, our clothing, you know, that we don't have to worry about those things if we seek Him first. You know, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and all that time, their clothes did not fall apart. I like to shop at that store. Their shoes did not fall apart. Probably they had one pair instead of several, like most ladies like to have. But they, you know, God took care of them. He supplied their food. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. And who was it that ministered on that recently about the, was it Charlie Milbrot? One of our guest ministers recently talked about, oh, no, it was Jean-Paul, wasn't it? Talked about how, well, somebody preached about and talked about the how much manna it would have probably have taken. Gary Upham, yes, it was. It was Gary Upham. I knew I wasn't right on those two. But Gary Upham took, he just said, you know, if, because we don't know what size the manna was, but he gave out numbers, estimates on how much manna it would have taken every day to feed the Israelites, how much quail it would have taken every day. And then he brought up this point, well, you know, quail don't live in the desert. So those quail came in from no telling how far away to give their lives for those Israelites. Okay, I hope we don't have any people that are against hunting, because we've talked about Michael being in San Antonio, I mean, in South Africa hunting and all that kind of stuff. But he talked about that. And, you know, it made you really realize how much God loves us and supplies our need. You know, it wasn't just a little basket. It wasn't, you know, you think, well, he gave them manna every day. It wasn't this kind of basket. Anybody have their notes on the how much it was? It was 9,000 tons of quail. Oh, 45. A day. And then so it would be 90,000 tons on Saturday, on Friday, because Saturday was their Sabbath, and they couldn't collect it on that day. Don't we serve an awesome God? El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. An awesome God. Okay, this is one, that wasn't my point, my message. It's a good sidetrack. Okay. So, Mark 11:23, have the God kind of faith. He believes what He says. Do we believe what we say? Do we need to build up our faith a little bit so that we are able to believe what God says? Okay, Isaiah 59. Tommy taught Wednesday night and did an awesome job on being redeemed from the curse of the law, so I just encourage you to get that CD if you would like to listen to that, or go online and listen to it on the internet. Okay, Isaiah 59:21. says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever." So God has a covenant with us that we're supposed to keep the word of God in our mouths, and in our children's mouth, and in our grandchildren's mouth. And listen to this in the Message translation. I'm just going to read the last part. It says, "You will keep repeating these words and won't ever stop. God's orders."
Wow. That's good.
We'll keep saying these words, repeating these words over and over and over and over, saying them every day, saying them all the time. And that's God's orders to us. So we need to say the word of God. You know, and you say, well, why does God want us to say his word? You know, does he think he's some big, great, important person? Well, yeah, he does, because he is. But his word is powerful. There's power in his word. There's power for healing. There's power for salvation. There's power for meeting your needs financially. There's peace in God's word. Oh, my, there is such peace in his word. Because when you know that he's supplying your needs, you know that he's protecting you, you know that he's going to meet every need that could arise in your life, then there's peace. Peace that passes understanding. When tragedy happens, he's the one that gives the peace. He's the one that comforts our hearts. And so, yeah, God's word is important. It's important that we say it all the time. In Joshua 1:8, might hold your place there in 59, but we're going to go to a couple more scriptures and then come back to it. Joshua 1:8, very familiar scripture. You know, Moses had died, but before he died, he told Joshua to listen to God and follow God. And then Joshua says that in verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." In other words, you know, not depart. Keep it. Keep it in your mouth. Keep the word in your mouth. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now, Michael taught on this, on what meditate means. And the word is haggah. And I wrote those definitions down somewhere in my notes. And, okay, I rearranged my notes, and I guess I didn't get that part in here. Let me see. Anyway, it means to mutter. It means to speak, to mutter. It even means to roar, to think about, to groan, to growl, to roar. So we need to be saying God. You know, when I read that, meditate, you know, you think of, you know, thinking about what God says. I'm thinking about Psalms 23. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. But it's not that. God wants us to be saying his word. And yeah, we need it. Obviously, you have to think about it to be saying it. So you need to be saying God's word. So let's read it with that definition in it. This book of the law shall... I will keep this book of the law in my mouth. I will say his word day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it, and then I shall make my way prosperous, and I shall have good success. So when you start saying the word and you're thinking about the word, you're confessing over your finances, you're calling your checkbook, your bank account full to overflowing, you're calling your bills paid, your mortgage paid off, you're calling your body healed. Terry Mize told a story. We were in a meeting, and I think it was at Elizabeth's mom and dad's church in Michigan, and he told the story about how one time he was preaching somewhere away from home, which he does all the time, and but he was out of town, and he started having problems with one of his ears. I can't remember if he said it was hurting or he couldn't hear out of it. I think he couldn't hear out of it. And all the way home, he told his ear, you hear in Jesus' name, or you quit hurting, whatever. I think it was hearing, though. And he had like a 10-hour drive home. And when he got home, his ear was completely normal. But he spoke to his body. And sometimes we have to do that, you know, because we have authority in the name of Jesus. Our bodies have to line up with what God's Word says. And maybe we have some areas in our body, you know, maybe we have areas in our bodies we need to work on. I do. I have some things I need to work on in my flesh that it needs to line up with God's Word, that by the stripes of Jesus I am healed, that He sent His Word to heal me and to deliver me from all my destructions. God's Word is life, and it is health to all my flesh. So, body, you have to line up. So we have to speak to our bodies. Let's turn over to Isaiah 55. You know, Psalms 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble or be offended." So if you get offended easily, maybe you need to check your word level. Okay, so we're Isaiah 55, verse 10 says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud." We've had plenty of rain. I'm ready for it to stop for just a little while, give us a break. I know, the farmers all need the rain. But I think maybe, you know, like in shorter time slots and longer stretches of a little bit of dry, which I know we'll have later this summer. But you know, we know that the rain causes the earth to bring forth fruit and bud. And scientifically, rain water, the water in, you know, that's coming from our clouds, actually is more stimulating to a plant than our water hose is. So I can't explain the scientific reasons for that, but that's what they say. Anyway, the rain comes down, the snow, to water the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I've sent it. Where's God sent His Word? To us. He sent His Word to us. So, Father, I thank You that Your Word is going to accomplish what You please in me, because You've sent it to me. And so, just like the rain coming down, causing the earth to bring forth and bud, God's Word coming into us is God's going to cause us to bring forth fruit and bud in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Goodness. Okay. Time-wise. We got lots of time. Okay. Proverbs 18:20 says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." And the 21st verse says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So there is death and life in our tongues, in our mouths. So it's important that we say the right things. And one of the verses that Tommy used on Wednesday night is Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I believe that's right. Says, "Blessing." I can't quote the whole exactly right, but "Blessing, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life." So we have God's given us the choice, and how do we make that choice? By what we're saying. We need to be saying life words. We need to be saying hope words. We need to be saying healing words. You know, maybe you've gotten a hold of things in your life, in your own situation, your own family. Maybe you aren't battling sickness or disease in yourself. But what about the people you come in contact with every day? And what about the example that we're showing when the subject comes up about, oh, what are we going to do with this economy that we're in right now? And you say, "My God shall supply my every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And He wants to take care of you. He wants to supply your need. And there's, you know, they're in turmoil. They're not peaceful. They're in fear. Well, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And resist the devil and he'll flee. You know, there's so many scriptures that would minister to the people that we come in contact with. And we can be an example to people around us all the time by our lives. And you know, that when the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, the Egyptians were jealous of them because of the blessing of God on their lives. They had so much abundance there in the land of Goshen, I believe is what it is, that they were like a distinguished people. I heard someone say that before, that there's a scripture, it's not in the, I don't remember what translation it was, but they were a distinguished people. And we are a distinguished people, a people of God. And we need to be showing the world how good our God is. And how do we do that? By the peace that we emanate whenever we're around people, that we're not in turmoil all the time. We're not fearful all the time about what's going on. And so we need to just emanate the peace of God, the love of God, the compassion of God. You know, Jesus, there's so many scriptures in the New Testament where it says that he was moved with compassion. And so we need to be compassionate toward other people and be ever ready, like the ever ready bunny rabbit. We need to be ever ready to share the word with them, whatever they need that they have. We need to, you know, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. So when we've put the word in us, we put it in, you know, like a sponge, you know, you let a sponge soak up water and then you just put a little pressure and the water runs out. Well, that's what we need to be like. Whenever there's pressure coming against us, coming against our finances, coming against our bodies, coming against our family, what needs to come out when that pressure is on us? The Word of God. The Word of God needs to be coming. We need to have it ever in our mouths, on our lips, saying the Word. You know, Michael taught not too long ago on, what is he not taught on? But on James, he did a whole 6 months, I think it was, in the Sunday school class on the book of James, and talked about the power of the tongue. And so how we can, a ship is churned, a great big huge ship. How large are those, the ones that the planes land on? Come on, Dave, you're a Navy guy. What are they called? A carrier? A carrier? Okay, and how big are they? Okay, 300 yards, 900 feet. Okay, that's really big, isn't it? Really big.
I mean, 300 feet.
300 feet, okay. 300 feet. Yeah. Okay, so whatever size they are. It just takes a little rudder to turn. I mean, it might be big compared to the ship, but it just takes a rudder to change that ship, the direction that ship is going. And how great a matter does a little fire kindle? Our tongues can kindle a big fire. Well, let's kindle the fire of God. Amen. With our mouth.
That's right.
And let's let that rudder, this rudder, that, turn our ship around. You know, maybe you've been going the wrong direction in your life. Maybe you've been given up because there's not any hope left, you think. Or maybe you've looked at your bank account and you've looked at your bills and you say, well, there's not enough to go there. You know, there's not enough to pay all the bills. Well, let's change. Let's change the direction we're going. We're going over, not under. We're the head, not the tail. Amen? So we need to change the directions of our lives. And you say, well, it's really hard to do that. I've got, you know, I don't know if I can do it. Yeah, you can. You know, and I believe it's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. No, wait a minute. That's not it. It's, you know, right here on this side of my page. Maybe it is here. I'll have it underlined. No. But it talks about someone running a race. It's 1 Corinthians 9. And it says in verse 24, know you not that they which run in a race run all? You know, everybody that enters the race runs. But only one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. And then it goes on and says, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. And in the Amplified, it says, let me read this here. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. But like a boxer, I buffet my body. I handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and be rejected as a counterfeit. So as a Christian, when we talk about God meeting our needs, we need to be practicing that in our lives so that people don't look at us and go, oh, yeah, you talk about how God takes care of you, but look at what's going on in your life right now. And not to say we're not going to have opportunities to believe God, because that's what we do every day. We need to be believing God every day of our lives. We need to be saying the word every day of our lives. And if it takes discipline in ourselves, which it does, it takes discipline in ourselves every day. You have to make yourself want to serve God every day. You know, it's easy to listen to and join in with the crowd on what they're on the negative things that they're talking about. But it takes a man and woman of God who has spent time with God to stand up for what's right and to stand up and believe God and to share with others. You can do it. You can make it. God wants to help you. He wants you to make it in life. He has a whole book of promises. A whole book of promises for us. Anything that could arise, any opposition that you could have, you can overcome with the Word of God. Amen? All right, let's go back to Isaiah 59. 59, verse 21. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, as for me, this is my covenant or league with them, says the Lord. My spirit, who is upon you, and who writes the law of God inwardly on the heart, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouths of your children, or out of the mouths of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And remember, the message says, you will keep repeating these words and won't ever stop God's orders. And then let's go on. You know, when they wrote this originally, there was no chapter breaks. So the very next verse, and it's talking about Jesus coming, but let's read it in light of we're confessing the word. And then verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is, in the Amplified, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. How are we going to do that? By saying the word. We're going to rise to a new life by saying the word. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So we can rise up out of our circumstances. We can rise up out of depression. We can rise up out of poverty. We can rise up out of lack in any area by confessing the word. Amen?